ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य जलञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुर्वे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपाकदामायं ददाति स्वयं पदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुं सिद्धपदाकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवं च श्रीरूपं सहगजातं सहगनरघुनाथं सजीवं साद्वैतं साद्भूतं परिजनसहितं श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदं सहगनं ललिता श्रीविशाखाम्बितं सजीवं वाञ्छकल्पतरुभयशाकृपासिन्धुपतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर शिव सादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय दीक्षिता ब्रह्म सत्रेण Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
the word Brahma, Kshatriya means cultivation of spiritual knowledge. Actually, both the Vedas and severe austerities are known as Brahma. Vedas, Tatam, Tapo, Brahma. Brahma also means the absolute truth. One has to cultivate knowledge of this absolute truth by pursuing studies in the Vedas and undergoing severe austerities and penances. The Prajapatis properly executed this function and consequently became equal to all living entities. As Bhagavad Gita confirms, Brahma Bhuta Prasya Atma Na Sochati Na Kanchati Samma Sarvesu Bhuteshu Mad Bhakti Labhyate Brahma. One who is thus transcendently situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never lacks nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. When one actually becomes spiritually advanced, he does not see the difference between one living entity and another. This platform is attained by determination. When perfect knowledge is expanded, one ceases to see the outward covering of the living entity. He sees rather the spirit soul within the body. Thus he does not make distinction between a human being and an animal, a learned Brahman and a Chandala. Vidya vina ye sampate brahmane ravi hastini suni cheva sova prake cha pandita sama darshina. The humble saint, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman, a cow and elephant, a dog and a dog eater. That is in Bhagavad Gita, verse 5:18. A learned person sees everyone equal on a spiritual basis, and a learned person, a devotee, wants to see everyone developed in Krishna consciousness. The place where the past is residing was perfect for executing spiritual activities, for it is indicated that the great sage, Dajali, attained mukti, liberation there. One desiring perfection or liberation should associate with a person who is already liberated. This is called Sadhu Sangha, associating with a perfect devotee. So according to this verse, after perfecting the spiritual knowledge by which one becomes equal towards all living entities, one becomes perfect in Krishna consciousness. So how do you come to this stage? This is the basic knowledge we get in Bhagavad Gita. This is the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. And when Arjun asked Krishna to take him to the middle of the armies, where he saw both sides, and on one side, on whom he was supposed to fight, where his guru Dronacharya, his grandfather Pitama Bhisham, his brothers, his sisters, uncles, you know, sons, they were all relatives there. And then he was thinking, you know, why should I kill them? Because this is our nature. When we want something, we want to show off to. So if I kill some all the people and there's no one to show it to, then what's the point of doing all those things? Understand what I'm saying? You know, you want opulence and everything, you want a nice house, you know. Most of the time it is not for your own self, it is just to show it to other people that you have this. And if they are not there to enjoy it, you know, then what is the point, you know? Right? You can live in a very humble way, right? So this is one of the other reasons, you know. You want other people to see and be part of it, you want to enjoy it. And when Arjun saw that if you're going to kill all those people, then what is the point of this, right? And then Krishna, after he complained about this, he said, gave a lot of reasons why he shouldn't be killing. And Krishna says, you know, you're talking like a pandit, you know. But what you are is confused, you know. The soul never dies. It's never born, never dies. And if you understand the basic knowledge, then you won't be worried about this. So this is what this particular verse is trying to explain. That once we understand that we are not this body, we are a spirit soul. And then you see everybody as equal. So that's the first status. But then there are a lot of people like the Mayavadis, they also see the same thing. They understand that we are not this material body, we are a spirit. But they think there is no supreme spirit, there is no super soul. They take everybody as equal. So we have to understand there is different phases of it. One is to understand that we, the living entities, are just Atma. We are minute. We are the seventh. But there is a supreme soul, the super soul, who is above us, who is the controller, who is the master. And the living entities are the seventh. So unless you distinguish between the two, then it is not full realization. Even understanding the super soul is not full realization. Super soul is just an expansion of Krishna, but it's not a complete. Because the super soul stays with the soul, but it does not communicate with it. In a direct way, there is no direct reciprocation going on there. So even you can see the beautiful form, you know, most of the time the yogis who meditate on them want to merge into them. Right? So they are not different from the Maya bodies. But a devotee sees there is a distinction. There is a soul and there is a super soul. But above that, there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, to whom we can actually reciprocate with, from whom we can have a relationship. Relationship is very important, because for a relationship we need more than one person. You can't have a relationship with yourself. You need two people to have a relationship with. Right? So to have a relationship, Krishna needs other living entities. And that's where we come into the picture. So we can actually have a relationship with Krishna where we can save him with love and devotion. The nature of Krishna, that he is always happy. So if we are with Krishna, we will always be happy. But the problem in the material world is that material nature is, which also is part of Krishna's nature. So there is a yogmaya. When you are in the spiritual world, everything is perfect because we are with Krishna, we are reciprocating with Krishna. There is no distress, no unhappiness, nothing in there. But in the material world, the duality comes into the picture. So there is two of them. There is happiness, there is distress, there is birth, there is death, there is old age, there is, you know, and the people are young. So there is, everything has two of it. And that's what the material world is all about. But one who understands this, understands that life is like a flowing river. Right? The nature of the river is continually flowing. So similarly, we take birth, we live for a time, then we die, and then we take birth again. Similarly, the happiness and distress are like seasons. You know, sometimes it's cold, next time it's springtime, it's nice like that. So nothing is permanent in this material world. And if you understand this, first that we are the Atma, we are not this body, and second is that because of our karma, because of our past deeds, whatever we have done, we are here, we are going through certain circumstances, we are going through certain sufferings and things like that. This is all temporary. So if somebody is sick, a jnani doesn't get affected by it. He knows that over a period of time he's gonna get back better. Then he'll be well, he'll be happy, and then he's gonna get sick again, you know. So all these things is temporary, it's not a permanent situation. So if you understand this, then you become qualified in Krishna consciousness. But Srila Prabhupada very nicely takes it to the next level. That what is the difference between a devotee and one who has realized this level? So to be in this level where you see every living entity, whether it is a tree, plant, dog, animal, a Brahman, a sannyasi, you know, a grahastha, you know, a brahmachari, or a sudra, or a brahman, if you look at all of them on the same level, that is called uttam level, you know, the topmost level. In this level, you see everybody as devotees of Krishna, because you're only seeing the level of the soul, you don't see the covering of the body. And at this level, then you don't see anybody suffering. You see everybody as devotee of Krishna except yourself. So you think everyone is devotee, everyone has got Krishna's mercy, they are devoted to Krishna, but we are not. But if they are in the material world, how does he see that? He understands that it is Krishna's energy. So everything is under control of Krishna. The energy is under the control of the energetic. This Maya is also control of Krishna, under the control of Krishna. So, understanding this, he sees that whatever is happening under the direction of Krishna. Whatever is happening in the spiritual world, this is a reflection. They have parents there, they have children there, they get married, you know, there's a grastha life there, there are Brahmins there. If you read pastimes of Krishna, you see the Brahmins are chanting the mantras, there's so many grastha families there, there's so many little kids are born in there, there are cows there, they milk the cow, Yashoda Maya gets up in the morning, you know, makes butter, she cooks. We're doing the same thing here. So devotee sees that everything is happening under the direction of energy of Krishna. But those who do not understand that there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are not devotionally inclined, then they come under the dueling energy of Krishna, which is Mahamaya. So what Prabhupada is saying, that a devotee is happy when he sees that everyone is Krishna consciousness. Everyone is engaged in Krishna consciousness. So even Srila Prabhupada is Uttam Uttam Adhikari. He knows he's the, you know, there are nine divisions. It's not just Kanista, Madhyam and Uttam. There is Kanista, 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 Madhyam Kanista, Uttam Kanista. Then same way, you know, Kanista, Madhyam, Madhyam, Madhyam and Uttam Madhyam. Right. So similarly, there is Kanista, Uttam, Madhyam Uttam and Uttam Uttam. So Prabhupada being the topmost, a Paramahamsa, right? But if he was at that level, then he would see everyone as devotee of Krishna. So you have to come to the Madhyam level, to the next level, where you can differentiate that, okay, he is not a devotee. He is still covered by the living energy of the material nature. He has to come to the level of understanding where Krishna consciousness is. So at Madhyam level, you see people in three different levels. Those whom you are preaching to. Firstly, you know they are devotees of Krishna. Then the next level is those who are favorable to Krishna consciousness. This next group is, they are neutral. They have no enmity against Krishna. Now that they have enough knowledge to be favorable. And then they are unfavorable group. So at this Madhyam level, then you start preaching to those who are favorable to Krishna consciousness and those who are on the neutral level. Because neutral level, by giving them knowledge, you can make them favorable. But those who are unfavorable, you generally lead them aside. Just like the Mayavadis and those. Unless you are so powerful that you can actually preach to them and change their mind. Because by preaching to them, this is also a mercy of a Vaishnava. Because by preaching to them, what will they do? They'll commit more offenses. They'll commit offenses against the Vaishnava. They'll commit more offenses against Krishna. So rather than making their situation worse, at least leave them where they are. Now there are a lot of times when devotees are serving so nicely in the temple and then they leave the temple. What is the main reason for that? They've been serving the temple for so nicely and then all of a sudden they leave, you know. What is the main reason? It's mostly because we commit apradh. It's mostly we commit Vaishnava apradh. And when you have this mentality that committing Vaishnava apradh, then Krishna knows that I know it's good for you to stay in the temple, but by associating with devotees, if you're going to commit more of my Vaishnava apradh, your situation is going to get worse. So it is best I take you away, put you somewhere else, where your situation at least doesn't deteriorate. Because if you're not making advancement and you're going down, so this is not the right situation for you. So if you're doing some nice service and somehow or the other, if your service is taken away, you are not able to actually do service, you have to actually see for yourself what is going wrong, what is going on, where did I go wrong? Right? And then you try to find out, you know, okay, I did a comic to a Vaishnava Prabhupada. It's generally the Vaishnava Prabhupada that actually pushes us in that direction. So we should be very careful in that sense. It's very, the most important thing, as Srila Prabhupada said, that to make spiritual advancement, we need Sadhu Sangha. Because of all the things, Sadhu Sangha is the most important. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us 5 things if you want to actually have Braj Bhakti. And what are those? Chanting the holy name of the Lord, Sadhu Sangha, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, deep worship, and living in the Dham, right? So, of all of these, the most important is Sadhu Sangha. Because Sadhu Sangha, what it does is, when you are in the Sadhus, what do? You chant the holy name of the Lord. You listen to the Katha, which is basically what Bhagavatam is all about. Right? You do devotion. And then, most of the time, you get inclined to go to the Dham, or at least you are mentally there. So Sadhu Sangha covers all of those, and this is the most important. But at the same time, one has to be very careful not to commit Vaishnava Prabhu. Living with devotees is great, but sometimes we take it very cheaply, you know, because we are with so many devotees, we do not understand, you know, and then we start offending devotees. We have to be very careful. So this is what Prabhupada is saying. Our movement is not realizing everybody is a soul, right, and then forget about it. Our movement is preaching. This is what movement this is about. This is all about. And 5,000 years ago, when Krishna was living, Ganga Devi went to Krishna and she was praying to Krishna that you are living, you have been so kind, you know, being here by this, you know, so many devotees. But Kali Yuga is approaching. What's going to happen then? Everybody will be sinful. They're going to take bath, come and bath in here. You know? And what will happen to us? So Krishna told Ganga Devi, do not worry. After 5,000 years, I'm going to appear here in my name as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give Krishna's name. So the main incarnation for Kali Yuga is Naam. Hare Naam, Hare Naam, Hare Naam Kevalam, Kalau Naastev, 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 Gaturanata. So 5,000 years after Krishna left, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. And he gave us this Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the mix. Right, and she said that at that time, for the next 10,000 years after that, the holy name will be chanted in every town and village. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said the same thing. Narad Muni also said the same thing, that his devotee will come and preach all over the world. Right, and this is where we are. So the next 10,000 years, being in the movement of Prabhupada, you know, basically means to preaching. This is the movement of giving, it's not the movement of sitting down and accepting. You know. And what is the best way to preach?
Distribute your prasad.
That's one way?
Harinam.
Harinam is another way?
Book distribution.
Book distribution is the main. If you distribute Prabhupada's book, then Prabhupada will take care of the rest. If you can distribute enough books for everybody in the world, if they can hold a Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Chaitamaya, any of Prabhupada's book, then the whole world will be liberated. Right? Once His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj was in Fiji and he said, okay, today we're going to go and distribute books. So in Fiji, devotees don't usually do that. You know. Fiji is a place for prasadam. I think just by taking prasadam, they will go back to Godhead. You know. And Prabhupada said that, you know, he just feed them prasadam, it's enough to take them back to Godhead. But Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, okay, everybody go and do book distribution today. So he gave their books and everybody took their books, and when in the afternoon he called them, you know, and said, how many books you did. And one of the very senior devotees, you know, he called them, how many books you did? He said, I sold one book, you know. And he said, how long did you go for? He said, I was there for about 3 hours, you know. And so what were you doing for 3 hours? He said, I went there, I sat down, I preached to them, and then I convinced them, then I sold the book, you know. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, that's not what I was need to do, you know. Your 3 hours of preaching is nothing, you know. You just give Prabhupada's book and you move out. Go to the next house. Let Prabhupada take care of that. Let his books take care of that. You know. So that's what we should be trying to do, you know. Distribute Prabhupada's book, and somebody reads a page, opens the book, even touches the book, they get so much advancement. Once Prabhupada was walking in the morning and somebody said good morning to Prabhupada, and he said he has made so much advancement just by wishing me good morning. You know, if somebody just wishes somebody, you know, Vaishnava devotees, you know, something nice, they make advancement by holding Krishna in their hand, you know, by holding the words of Krishna, how much more advancement they're gonna make. So this is our movement, you know. It's more for preaching. I know in the beginning we all thinking about going back to Godhead, but eventually and slowly we realize that, you know, it's more and more devotees are saying we'll go wherever Prabhupada is, you know. And we know that, you know. You know, they don't care whether wherever Prabhupada is, if he's in another material world, we'll go there. You know, we're gonna go and preach there. You know, we're going to do Harinam as long as we can remember that. As long as you give a Medanga to Prabhu, he doesn't care where he is. No? So this is the mood we have to develop, the preaching mood. Right? And then to understand that it's not our happiness that matters. Eventually we have to come to this stage that Krishna's happiness matters more. Because that's the ultimate goal. This is the Braj Bhav. You know, if you go to Vaikuntha, then it's a little bit of what we want. Right? We want position, we want to be, you know, looking same as Krishna, you know, right? Because everybody has four arms there, right? When we go to Dwarka, even the queens, you know, is 50-50, you know, when there's a marriage, it's 50-50, half yours, half boys. Krishna doesn't have his way all the time. The queens also have it, because that's what marriage is. It's not one way. But Braj is completely different. Everybody is doing what Krishna wants. And what is Krishna doing? Everything that everybody else wants. Braj is the only place where Krishna runs after the devotees. Everywhere else, the devotees are running after Krishna. Because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you know, as you reciprocate, I, and as you surrender, I reciprocate accordingly. But to the, what does it tell us about Prajapopis, you know? I can't repay it. I can't reciprocate to you. Because you have given yourself completely to me. You know, you don't care about the religion. You know, religion of a wife. They were all married. They didn't care about that. They didn't care what the society is going to think about that. They didn't care what about the parents going to think about that. All they wanted was to save Krishna. Right? So they gave up everything. How can you repay someone? Krishna says, I can't repay you. You know, let your devotion be. You know, let your service be reward for whatever your devotion is. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to give us. Right? It is Krishna's happiness, and that's what we should focus on. Right? Why I was emphasizing more on the books is that because these books are words of a pure devotee. So whatever Prabhupada has written there, if you have complete faith in that, this is our problem. We do not have faith in the words of the spiritual master and the acharyas. That's the major problem. If we have faith on the words, we will surrender. When Krishna says, Sar dharma paritya mam ekam sharanam bhaja, surrender on to me completely. And I'm going to get rid of sin. We don't believe in that. We don't do it. We still try to hold on to our bank balance, our house, our business, our property. We try to make sure that we are safe. We're not saying that, okay, if I surrender, I say Krishna, he'll look after us. There is a story where there was a sage who was living in one of his kutia, you know, one of his huts. And it was in a nice place, nice forest area, and he was meditating there for a long, long time. And there was a hunter who used to go just bypass the where the sage was staying. Every time he'll go, he'll pay respect to the sage and go and catch his animals and come back. And this was going for a long, long time. And one day the hunter says, you know, I go to the forest to catch animals, you know. What do you go for? What are you trying to catch here? You know, you are also in the forest. Whom are you trying to catch? You know, what are you trying to catch? And the sage said, I'm trying to catch Krishna. And the hunter said, who is Krishna? You know, and he said, oh, he's a 16-year-old boy. He is like the monsoon cloud, right? He wears yellow garments. He decorates himself in forest flowers. You know, he wears a turban with all different kind of flowers on it, and he has a beautiful peacock feather hanging on his head. He also carries a flute. He says, oh, that is Krishna. So he got enough description and he said, don't worry, you know. Every day I catch animals, you know. Because you are here, you probably don't know how to catch, you know. So I'll catch Krishna for you. So he went and set up the trap, you know, nicely, right? Okay, put the net around and waiting for Krishna, you know. One day passed, nothing happened. Night went, passed, nothing happened. You know, forget about the animal, you know. Second day, second night, nothing happened. Third day, third night, nothing happened, you know. And then Krishna is watching how determined this person is, you know. And then he comes, gets himself caught, you know. So he says, oh, you are Krishna? Yeah, okay, I got you. Right? So he takes him to the sage, you know. And he calls the sage, hey sage, come here, I've got your Krishna here, you know. Krishna, sage comes out and says, Krishna, pays his done works, everything, and he says, my lord, forget about this life, this day, this month, this year, you know, I've been trying to catch you for many, many lifetimes. I've been such a devoted person to you, you know. I haven't been able to catch you. And this hunter, he didn't even know you 3 days ago, right? How did he catch you, you know? And Krishna said, there's two reasons, you know. One was his determination to catch me. He was so focused in that, that he wanted to catch. And the other one, he had complete faith in the words he said. That this is what Krishna looks like, you know, he is here, we can catch him. And that was the reason why he came. So it was not because of his karma or what kind of life he led. It was purely because he believed in the word of faith. Sadhu, a saint. And he said, because of these two reasons, I got caught so I can give the darshan to him and to you. Right? And this is the important thing. We do not have faith in the scriptures. Right? It is one of the 10 offenses to the holy name, not to have complete faith in the scriptures after reading it. Right? Otherwise, if we understand one verse, you know, even if you understand it, that we are not this body, we are the soul, and we should treat everybody equally, then everything changes. So we should actually take our time, you know, we should actually preach as much as we can. You know, we should distribute Prabhupada's book as much as we can, you know. Chant do Harinam, because this is the yuga of the holy name. You know, chant holy name as much as possible, you know. Time for yoga. See, that's another thing. Yeah. So finally, you can probably come to the stage where you can, you know, meditate on the Supreme Soul, but you should understand that the Super Soul is Krishna. So, that is the other way of doing exercises, karamukanda. So this is what we should focus on. So you come to the level that we understand that everybody is a devotee of Krishna. Some of them have forgotten that, and we should actually preach to them. That's what Prabhupada's main purpose of this is. He's taken it away one level further, not just seeing everybody as the soul, but understanding that some of them are, most of them in this material world means that they are covered under the illusory energy. They want to be Krishna rather than servant of Krishna. And we do this all the time, you know. We also try to be controllers, you know. We want to be controlled. That basically is position of Krishna. Servant means subservient. So anyway, even at home, as a husband and a wife, the husband wants to be the controller of the house, the kids want to be a controller of the house, you know. And because we do not have one controller in the house, that's where all the problems is happening. Especially this time, you know, there's so many violence going in the houses. People are, you know, suicidal. My daughter was telling me the other day, she said, you should talk to your friends, make sure they are okay at this time, because the number of suicides are happening much, much more because people don't know what to do. And one of the reasons is that I was listening to Bhaktivinoda Purna Maharaj, you know, he said, in India, sometime back, even probably now, in a small house, you can have 10, 12 people living peacefully, no problems, you know. The grandfather, the son, you know, the brothers, and their kids, and their wives and children. So there could be like 3-4 generations living in a house very peacefully, right? As much as possible, you know. In the West, you have 4 people, husband, wife, 2 kids. And there's a big problem there. It's almost impossible to live. That's why as soon as the kids get married, they either kick the parents out of the house, put them in the nursing homes, or they move out themselves. And he said the reason is because of leadership. In the Vedic system, there's one leader, right? And he's the oldest person in the house. So the grandfather or the grandmother, right? They are the leaders, right? They control the whole house, right? Whatever they say, that's what it goes for us. In the West, 4 people, all are leaders, right? So he said that it's like, you know, you go to a lake, the water is still, right? Okay, you put one stone in one place, and there is a ripples created, right? You can put 100 stones in the same place. All those ripples will never collide. They're going to just go uniformly, right? But you have same, and then you put 4 stones in 4 different places, they all create ripples like that. And they collide, right? So this is important. If we can bring Krishna as the center, he is the origin, and then we all surrender onto him, he becomes the focus, then everything is focusing on it. So in this temple, in our movement, Prabhupada is the center. Prabhupada is wherever Krishna is. So if you understand this, then we serve Prabhupada, then there is no difference in there. Everything becomes perfect. So that's what we have to do. We have to focus on that. We have to make center, Krishna is the center. And we walk around him. We try to do what pleases Krishna. And if all of us do that, does that, then there will be no issues. But if I want to do my way, you know, the other person wants to the other way, then there will always be collision. There will be always issues in there. Right? So we should focus in that way, and then we should actually try to do what Krishna wants us to do. Krishna said one of the best devotees are those who preach about him, right? To preach, you have to understand, you have to read. This is the beauty about preaching, that you have to spend so much time reading, so much time understanding, so that you can impart the knowledge, right? If you don't preach, most of the time you don't read. You know, if you read, then you want to preach, because you want to give that knowledge to, you know. And Prabhupada has given us so well, you know, you keep reading it, you know, just amazed. And even now things are much easier, that if you just want to pick a particular word and you just, you know, search it, it gets so many times the same thing is being used, you know, and then it, Prabhupada explains it in different ways at different levels. Yeah. So the main point is we try to see everybody as same. That's the main thing that this verse is trying to explain. Prabhupada has taken it to the next level that we don't only see everybody as Atma, everybody as a soul, but we also see that there is Krishna there. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are the servants of Krishna. And in the material world, we have to preach the message of Krishna. We have to make everybody Krishna consciousness. And that's where the happiness of a devotee lies. Take. Any questions? Any comments?
Like you were saying in West, or generally these days, in a house, even if there are four people, there will be four rooms, and each one of them are in four different rooms.
Yeah.
They never come together.
Yeah. I had a friend who told me, when I was building this house, this 20 years ago, he was from India, I think he had two kids or three kids, two girls. And he said, I give you one advice. He said, don't build a double-story house. And I said, why? He said, I've got a double-story house. We have got a room for us downstairs. The kids' rooms are upstairs and we don't see them.
Yeah.
The only time we see them is when they want to eat something. I've got a ground-floor story house. But same thing, my kids, you know. My daughter comes to see when you eat, or she comes and says hi to you. You know, 5 minutes later, they're in their room doing whatever they want on the computer or whatever. And we don't spend time together. You know, unfortunately, that's the way we have put this up, put the kids up here. And because we don't have a nice relationship with them, we don't know what they are doing, this is where all the problems are. We're not talking about this, you know. In the West, the other major problem is that just like in the Vedic scripture said that one should take advice from a Brahman because they are the ones who are in knowledge, right? A sannyasi, a Brahman, one who is a devotee. There's another person we can always take in knowledge from is people who are elderly, because they have learned through experience, and that knowledge is as good as what's in the scripture. So if they tell you something through experience, but what do we do in the West? We don't keep that. Our kids are growing without the guidance of our parents, of their grandparents. You know, this is where the wisdom is. This is where they have lived through the life. You know, my son says, I don't know anything, because they know everything. It's all on the Google, you know. You tell them, ask them something, he says, no, you know, that's not right. You tell them something, this is what's in the scriptures. He says, there you go again, you know. So it's a different world they live in.
These days kids are raised by mobile phones and iPads.
Yeah. And whatever Google says is right. You know?
Yeah.
And they don't understand that Google can be written by any person. You know? So rather than believing in the words of the scriptures, you know, what Krishna has said in Bhagavad Gita and everything, these guys are believing somebody. And then there's so many, just like whatever is happening now, you know, there's so many theories going on what this virus is all about. Somebody is saying is that, oh, this is the pharmaceutical company, they just want to make a vaccine so they can sell it to everybody. Even devotees have so many things. They have so many of their own concoction going on. You know. But I was just thinking, you know, when I was reading about this, I was thinking, you know, we should see all the virus and every, you know, basically every living entity is saying, and I was thinking, what is a virus? Is it also a living entity?
Yes.
If it is a living entity, how do we see that? We see them as they are coming here to kill us, or we see them as a living entity, a devotee of Krishna. But then you know, if we go take it to the next level, we understand that this material energy is also part of Krishna. And energy is working according to the direction of Krishna. So, those who are suffering through all the diseases and everything, it is because of their karma. You know, if somebody is going through there, we understand this. This is because of what they did in the past. We can't, and it's temporary. Even if they die, it's temporary because they get another body. And then they keep going on, they keep suffering in there. You know, as long as they're in the material world. So the main point is not to worry about it, to be distressed about what's going on in the material world, but try to help these people to understand about Krishna consciousness, so to make them Krishna consciousness, so we can get out of it. Otherwise, whatever we are suffering, this is going to continue on. This is not going to stop, you know. And unfortunately, we have been here for, I don't know, millions and millions of lifetimes. Brahma's day, one day is 1,000 times the 4 yugas, you know. If we live 400 years in this Kali Yuga, you know, we're going to only, 32,000 something, you know. That many thousand times we have to take back. Just to go through Kali, then you take the other yugas, then you take, you know, a month of a year of Brahma. So even if we stay in 1 year of Brahma, we have taken billions and billions of lifetimes of birth. And our first birth was Brahma. So when we decided to come here, that's our first birth, because we had not contemplated at that time. But we wanted to be the controller and the creator and the enjoyer, so that's our first position. Now just imagine position of Brahma and where we are now. How much we have fallen down, how many times we have become demigods, you know, probably already become Indra so many times, you know. But what's the point? We are still here, we are still suffering, and even the birth of, as Brahma was temporary, the demigods were temporary, and this will also be temporary. So let's not worry about what we are going through. The idea is to get out of here, become Krishna conscious, you know. And the best way to become Krishna conscious is you preach. If you preach about Krishna conscious, then Krishna actually helps you, because you are trying to pass his message to you. Then he gives the knowledge. Because I don't know what to say. I'm such a living small entity, you know, living entity. But Prabhupada knows, you know. So we pray to Prabhupada. Pray to Gaudiya, because this is their movement. This is what they are trying to come here to preach, you know, to use us in whatever way they choose, so that they can impart the knowledge. You know. Prabhupada has given us everything, you know. Just like another thing I was thinking, you know, about Melbourne Temple. Prabhupada said this. This is no different from Vrindavan. This is Vrindavan. Melbourne Temple is Vrindavan. How many of you really believe that? You know. If you are here, you need to go to Vrindavan. Huh? If you are here in this temple, we are in Vrindavan. And then if you look at it, there's Gaudiya there. Gaudiya is in Navdeep. Right? Navdeep is no different from Vrindavan. You got Radha Vallabha there. Same thing. We got Giriraj Maharaj there. Giriraj in Vrindavan. So this is Vrindavan. Jagannath Bhagavad Subhadra. Right? They had taken that form just because of meditating on the devotees of, you know, that's the steady form. So this is Vrindavan. But do we believe in the words of Prabhupada? And that's where we lack. We do not have faith in the words of the. As I was telling about that in a past time, where that hunter had complete faith in the word of the saint. And the result was that he attained Krishna. Even though he was a hunter, he was killing. And 3 days before, he didn't even know who Krishna was. So if we have faith in the words of the spiritual master, if we have to fight in the words of our, you know, Prabhupada said, chant 16 rounds, follow the four ecclesiastic principles, you know, and, you know, have darshan, you know, that's enough to go back to Godhead. Now don't try to say, no, that's not right, you have to chant 64 rounds. Have faith in the words of Prabhupada. He said that, we follow that, it will happen. But he didn't say just chant 60 rounds, at least 60 rounds, minimum 60 rounds. Yeah.
Or minimum 15 rounds, or?
Minimum 16 rounds, yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Try to understand a bit the process of the Parachetas, because as a part of understanding the what its spirituality is, because if we revise a bit, they got first the association of a pure devotee like Lord Shiva,
yeah.
So they got the process to. For perfection, they arrive. That chanting the mantras that Lord Shiva gave to them, and they got the success of that, mm-hmm. the darshan of the Lord. So not just that, the Lord also gave them the benedictions of the many blessings, and the fact that they will go back to the spiritual world. But not just that, they need to have the association again with the devotee of pure devotee like Jajahi, to continue their progress in their spiritual lives. So I was trying to understand what actually means then perfection in the spirituality. Because they got the association of Shiva mm-hmm. as a pure devotee, they got the association of the Lord, mm-hmm. and that wasn't enough. They need more. So it's perfect, more perfect, most perfect. It's a constant evolving, and it's not static.
Yeah.
So it's continue, because it's more and more. And that point also makes the basic of everybody is the same. That mm-hmm. was the teaching of this, was the complementary teaching of the Jajali Maharaj or Sadhana Swami. But what that means to see everybody as a spiritual soul or saint, the implications of that knowledge and understanding, I just try to understand that, because implies many things at the same time, because it's not look like a symbol that everybody is the same in spiritual soul, but to reach that point of realization of that implies non-dishas, that we are not the body, and the rules of how the system of the nature work.
This is when you read something and it's very good, you know, before you go to bed, you know, every day. Try to take and contemplate on this. Because contemplation is like, most of the time we have this knowledge. Most of the Hare Krishna devotees who have taken initiation, they have all read Bhagavad Gita. Right? We already know that we are not the body, we are the soul. But how many people have realized that? So that there is a difference there, realization. That's the main thing. Gyan and Vigyan. Knowledge and realized knowledge. So how do you go from knowledge to realized knowledge is by contemplating on it. So you take a point, and just like you said that, okay, we are not this body, right? We are the soul. You are a soul, right? Then you start seeing, you know, you practice that. So when you are looking, you don't look at or see the woman or a man or a bed or anything. We look at, it's a soul, right? So how you actually reciprocate with that. Understand? So it's practice. And then that knowledge becomes vigyan. We become realized knowledge. So this is where we are lacking. We are reading, but we are not putting that into practice. We are not seeing what the scripture is saying. So the more you associate with devotees, right? For example, a pure devotee, you know, the way they deal with everybody, right? They don't see one is lower or higher, right? And you look at them and you say, look at Prabhupada. For example, let's just see what Prabhupada, right? When he started the movement, right? What kind of people he was associating with? You know, I was listening to Samsundar Prabhu. He said, we didn't know, you know. We'd come, we listen to Kirtan, we'll 1 hour Kirtan, right, everything. And the Prabhupada stops and he said, wow, this was not good, you know. Then they go out and start smoking because they didn't know anything better. But just by the association of a pure devotee, they keep seeing things, you know, and then they started improving. But it also messes up the devotees. This is why Sadhu Sangha is very important. Because whatever is in their heart is just like if you are near fire, right? The heat from the fire warms you up. So similarly, a sadhu, his purity also gets into you. So by association of devotees, association of devotees does not mean that you sit down with a devotee and take prasadam and you talk all nonsense. You know? Association of a devotee means that you ask questions. Okay, Prabhu, what do you think? You know, I was doing this, you know, I saw Krishna today, you know. But I did not realize it. How many of us believe that there's Krishna there, there's Radha Vallabha there, there's Brajanandan there? We come, we pay our respect, okay, pay our dandavat, you know. We go, how many of you ask, you know, hey, Radha Rani, how are you, you know, how are you, Krishna? If a friend comes to you, how many questions you ask them? Is that right? Right? We go to worship and we dress them and we do it like, oh, okay, let's do this nicely. Do you actually ask them, you know, do you like what I'm doing, you know? Is this the way you want me to dress you? We have to start treating them as persons. Then they're going to start talking. The reason, now you listen to Loknath Goswami, right? We chant his name every day, you know, in the Guru Puja, because it was written by his disciple, right? He had a deity, Radha Vinod. He used to talk to the deities. The deity used to talk to him because he had complete faith that these deities were Krishna. But we do not have faith. How many times Prabhupada said these deities are not different from Krishna? This Gaurita is not different from Krishna. Jagannath, Balda, Subhadra are Nanda Nandan, Dauji and Subhadra Devi. But do we have that faith? You know, we try to do what we think is right. Okay, if I have a dandavat, you know, say our prayers, and then we go. You know, when we cook something for Krishna, do we really say what Krishna wants to eat? Or it is what we want to eat and we give it to Krishna? You know, I've seen devotees, as soon as they cook, you know, they pack first, you know. They make their own plate first before they give it to others. Is that the right mode? You know, if you have got Krishna's mercy, you distribute it to everybody. You give it to everybody. If there's something less left, you then take it. You don't stress it out, because I cook on festivals, you know, and I've seen people, if they take something somebody else cooked, it is different. They try to put away what they cooked, you know, and then what's the mood there? Did I cook it for Krishna or did I do it for myself? You know what I'm saying? So we have to practice this. We take a word. We don't have to go too much deep in there. We just, for example, now you just focus on this thing. You are doing deity worship all the time. Because talk to Krishna. The good thing is that at the moment nobody is here after 10 o'clock. Right? The whole room is closed here. Yeah, they are persons. And we have experienced, you know, them in our life. We ask for something. Right? I remember I came here from, I told this before, but I'll tell you again just to emphasize the point. I was living in Gold Coast at the time, I was walking there, and I came and we had a conference in Ballarat. It was a day before Narasimha Pillai. So we came to the airport, they took us in a bus, we went in there. And I was in the plane and I was praying to Lord Narasimha Dev, you know, I'm coming to Melbourne, you know, how can I not at least come and have your darshan? But we didn't have any transport. So I was praying there, I went there, and then this devotee who lived in Frankston, he came to me, not the devotee, one of the workmates, he came to me and says, mate, can I come and stay with you? Because it was 3-day conference, it was all so far away. I said, no problem. I said, you just have to do one thing, you know. Can you take me home, take me and drop me in Melbourne tonight, and then pick me up tomorrow morning? I said, no problem. So I came, went to Radha Vallabha's Prabhu, Sham Vallabha's place. He's a devotee from South Africa. I stayed there and I said, hey, I'm coming, we're going to go to the temple. You know? So he waited for me, I came here. By the time we came here, it was pretty late, you know. And then it's not a big temple, so the temple was all full, you know. So I went to actually pay dandavat to Prabhupada. And I was on that step, that close, you know, right? And they were doing a abhishek there, right? Then I was thinking, you know, it would be nice for me to actually take some maha for the family, you know. Right? I thought about it. Same instant, the pujari threw a garland from all the way there and hit me right on my face. You know, and I just go like this, and they said, "Ramen in my hand." Instant. It was not like I thought about there and I went 5 meters. I was just thinking about it. It was not even complete. You know. And Krishna is merciful. He does it to face. And we see that time and time again. You know. Once I was making chutney and it was like 5 minutes. I'm not joking, right? 5 minutes. And we had forgot to make chutney, you know. And I said, "We have to make chutney, you know." I put the chutney on the stove. I'm not joking, within 3 minutes it was done. It was boiling everything, you know. Right? 3 minutes. And I said, we put it on the plate and I said, "This is not us. If we have a desire, and if you understand that we are not the doers, Krishna is doing it, they are just using us in whatever way. But the main thing is we have to have faith in the words of the scriptures. We have to faith in the words of Prabhupada. And then we have to take each of these points and then try to put it into practice. You know. And the best thing to do is practice it the person who are you living with. Do you treat them as another devotee? Do you see them as a part of Krishna's devotee? Do you give them that respect and love? You know, forget about other people, you know. Just if you have 3-4 people living in a house, you know, do we have that relationship with them? Yeah. How can we be nice to others when they are not even nice to devotees? This is the thing, you know. I have seen so many devotees, you know, here they criticize other devotees, you know, they did something wrong, they always, "Come on, man." I always give an example. Do you want to be a fly or a bee? You know? Do you want to look, go and sit on a fig? We all have problems. We have all got faults. We are living in a material world. Right? And what we did in the past, we can't change it. We can't actually keep hanging on to that. We have to see what the person is doing now. We help them. You know. You look at the good qualities in a person. But we don't practice that. You know, we just try to, somebody does it. I usually tell, you know, have a picture of a bee and a fly every morning. Look at it. What do you want to be? You know? Before you go to bed, you look at it. Whether you are more of a fly today or more of a bee today. Did you go for the nectar in a person or did you were looking at all the disqualification in a person? So the main thing is practice. That's what sadhana means. Sadhana means practice. Take a point and practice. We chant Krishna's name and see how properly we can chant. You know, he says you should listen to the name, you know. Or you can remember qualities of Krishna, or you can remember pastimes of Krishna. Is that coming into you? So slowly and slowly, it's not going to happen overnight. But if you are aware of it and we start practicing it, then it's going to eventually come. Yeah. Thik? Any other comments? So yeah. So what? It's a different levels. Just like even in the modern school, you know, the grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, grade 4, and things like that, right? So when we associate with devotees, like Lord Shiva is a pure devotee of Krishna. But he can only care what the student can take. Right? He knows everything. But if the other person is not ready at that time, right, then he just tells them that. You do this, you do this, you do that. And then come to that. But if you have faith in that word of the spiritual master, right, then you attain perfection. Then you get Krishna. Like Narad Muni, you know. Narad Muni, yes. Valmiki. You know Valmiki? The one who wrote Ramayana, right? He was a hunter, right? Right? He was so sinful that the place where he was, there were a pile of bones, like a hill, of that many living entities and people he had robbed and killed him. And Narad Muni looked at him and he says, you know, he can't even chant Krishna's name, he's not even qualified. So instead of saying Rama, he said, "Say Mara." And he was saying Mara, 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 Mara. But he had faith in this world. And Mara, Mara eventually become Rama, 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 Rama. So that's the main thing, you know. Spiritual masters, when we give us something, if we have faith in it, there is success there. How many people are here, you know, say, oh, what's going to happen to us, you know, we are so difficult, whether you're going to make it or not, I don't want to say this material. Yeah, you don't. If you don't have faith in a guru's word, then you won't get there. But if your spiritual master says 10, 16 rounds, follow the four declarative principles, you know, Prabhupada said follow the festivals, you know, have association of devotees, then there's guarantee. Huh? Am I going back to Godhead? Yes, I am definitely going to Godhead. Am I going on my own account? No. It's going to happen on the mercy of my Guru Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada. I have absolutely no doubt about that. Is it going to happen in this lifetime? Don't know. Whether it's going to take another 100 lifetimes, maybe. But if I have lived here for billions of lifetimes, what's another 100 lifetimes? You know, did you hear the pastime about that cobbler? And there was, do you know that? There was, Narad Muni was once going to see Lord Narayan. So he thought, okay, I'm going to take some message from the people. So he went and there was a sadhu there, a pandit there, and he says, well, I'm going to see Lord Narayan now. And he said, do you have a message for him? And he said, just ask him, you know, how many life it's going to take for me to go back, you know. And then he went there, there was this cobbler, the shoemaker, and he asked, you know, he was sitting under a banyan tree, and he said, okay, I'm going to see Lord Narayan. And he said, oh, you are so fortunate, you know. Okay, do you have a message for him? He said, No, just ask him, you know, when will be my turn, you know, to get out of there. So Narad Muni went to Lord Narayan, and then after some time he said, okay, I have to go back, you know. By the way, I've got this message from these two people. They want to know when it will be their time to go, you know. He said, tell that Brahman that it's going to take him 100 lifetimes. And he said, what about the cobbler? He said, this is his last life. And Narad Muni said, how can this be last life? You know, this Brahman is preaching so nicely, you know, he's doing so many austerities, he's a pandit, he's so knowledgeable, right? And it's going to take him 100 lifetimes, right? No, he said, 100 lifetimes or 3 lifetimes, something like that. And he said, how can that cobbler, you know, this is his lifetime, last lifetime. He said, when you go there, you tell the cobbler, it's going to take you as many lifetimes as there are leaves on the tree. Now you know how big the banyan trees are, how many leaves are there, right? And you tell the Brahman, you know, it's going to take him 100 lifetimes, and then you're going to get the answer. So when you also tell them that they're going to ask you, what was Lord Narayan doing? And he said, he was putting in, you know, a needle, the top hole where you put the thread, he was putting an elephant through it. Right? So he went there, and Narad Muni came to the Brahman first, and he says, oh, he came back, he said, yes. He said, oh, by the way, what was the Lord doing? He said, he was putting an elephant through the needle, you know. And this Brahman said, you are crazy, you know. How can he do that? How can he put such a big elephant through a small hole, you know? And he says, so Narad Muni said, okay. He said, by the way, did you ask him my question, how many lifetimes it's going to take? He said, it's going to take you 100 lifetimes. Brahman said, 100 lifetimes? I've been working so hard, so this was my lifetime. If I have to, you know, going to go back 100 lifetimes, I might as well enjoy for the 99 and then walk out in the hardest last one and then go back, you know. So Narad Muni said, okay. And then he went to this cobbler and he asked him, you know, he said, what is my Lord doing now? He says, oh, he was putting an elephant through the needle, you know. And tears started falling through eyes. He says, this is how great my Lord is, you know. He can put an elephant through the hole of a small needle, you know. And Narad was shocked, you know. Because even Narad couldn't believe that you can do that, you know. He said, how can you believe that, you know, that you can put an elephant through that small hole, you know? He said, what is impossible for my Lord? He said, look at this big tree that I'm sitting under. He put the whole tree in this small seed, you know. Because from that small tree, the whole tree grew, you know. And he said, how many lifetimes it's going to take me? And he says, as many as the leaves of the tree, you know. And he became so, he said, finally the Lord has put me a number, you know. You know, eventually I'm somewhere in the line that I'm going to go back. So this is the devotee. You know. They have complete faith in Krishna. It doesn't matter what situation Krishna puts them in. They serve Krishna. So if you have faith in Krishna, you know, you try to practice whatever is in there. You read. When you read too much, it's also not good. You know. You read something and then you try to meditate on it, contemplate on it. You know. We haven't understood, unfortunately, most of us haven't understood the first and second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Isn't it not? Because that's where the basic is. That's the, you know, we are a soul. How many of you really understand that? We haven't, you know, we haven't realized it. Thik? Any other comments? Did I answer your question?
Thank you.
Thik. Hare Krishna, Gandhara, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki,
Jai.